Hey mamas, welcome back. I have a special guest on the show today. Her name is Jetta, and she has some great grocery shopping tips for when you are really trying to work on your gut health. So when it comes to you and your family and just trying to eat more nutrient-dense foods and really prioritizing your gut health, these 10 tips are going to be super helpful for getting you in and out of the grocery store making good, nutritious decisions. I'm Miranda Lee, and you're listening to the Bread Therapy Mama Podcast, a show created for moms who want to feed their families foods that heal them, not hurt them. Food was meant to be our medicine, and the best way to do that is by focusing on the ingredients, not the calories. Here, you'll find everything you need to know about holistic nutrition, sprinkled with some motherhood, faith, and non-toxic living along the way. I can't wait to grow with you. Let's dive in. Hello, Jetta. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast today.
Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited. This is so up my alley, is talking to families and moms and dads and caretakers. So up my alley. So I'm excited.
Yeah, my listeners know that I just love the topic of gut health. I've had many podcast episodes about gut health, but our episode today is going to be pretty cool because we're going to dive into grocery shopping specifically and tips that you have. So before we talk about that, can you introduce yourself and tell our audience who you are and what you do and how you got here today?
Absolutely, Miranda. Yes. So, yep, my name is Jetta Like the Car. That's literally how I pronounce myself, G-E-T-A. I'm a gut health practitioner and certified nutritionist, and I specialize in healing and reversing chronic illness and keeping your autoimmune in remission 100% through nutrition. So no, I do not sell supplements.
I know a lot of people, when they think gut health, they think like, oh, I need to get my greens or my reds or whatever, which I think is great. And there's room for supplements, but I love to make the little analogy that like supplements are like a pair of earrings. Like they kind of, you know, you have to make sure you have your hair, your makeup, your outfit, everything, because if you walk up to a wedding in sweatpants, hair in a bun, and a pair of earrings on, it doesn't matter how nice those earrings are if everything else isn't put together. So
Miranda, I want to give you a megaphone for that one. That's perfect. I love that metaphor. I love that analogy. It's amazing. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I just know there's so many times, even like myself, and when I was younger, when it was like, all right, like I'm going to be healthier, I'm going to do this or that. And it's like, all right, let's go to GNC or the vitamin shop and buy all this stuff. And there's nothing magical about it. 99.9% of it's just marketing tactics anyway. So we need to get people out of the vitamin shop and into like, you know, gardening or bread making. And if they can't, they just need to be educated when they go to the grocery store to make their purchases.
Yes. So this is something that I'm super passionate about. So I've been doing this on my own gut health journey. So I have a chronic illness. I have a liver that does not function at all well. And I've known this since, I've just had problems since birth, because I was abandoned and my first 3 years were just not ideal developmentally. And growing up, I had some really intense symptoms that everybody and all the professionals just gaslighted, right? And as I kind of went through my own gut health journey, as I personally got educated on gut development and neurological development, I really understood how important the gut-brain connection is. And then when I switched over to knowing and learning all things about myself and sharing it with everybody else and healing other people, I was like, there's a big gap. There's a big gap in understanding. Like, so many people are spending so much money. You know, I think it was the US Weekly. I think they were saying this was in 2021. Obviously it's raised since, but the average North American spending on groceries was around $3,100 for a family of four a month.
A month.
So I was like, holy moly, that's a lot, right? And I saw it with my own clients. I saw that they were like, oh, I need to get organic. Oh, I need it. And I was like, nope, that's not what we need to do. And what I would do, this is how this all came about, is how I started to see this gap, was talking to my clients and seeing like, why don't we just do a pantry clean out? what, like, show me a picture of your fridge. Like, what do you got? You know what I mean? And like, let's do some good swaps, right? That are still gut healthy, but we're saving at least 50% of your income and of what you're spending. Bring it back to your pocket, right? And I literally was just talking about this is really giving it somewhere else in your life, right? I have two kids. You have a child. You have a family, right? I think it's really important to be able to be on a health journey and not feel so overwhelmed about this money aspect, right? So I saw that gap and I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, because a lot of people think that like eating healthy is more expensive. And honestly, if you do it right, it's not. I mean, here's the thing, like if you go down the snack aisle, right, and you see like potato regular potato chips, and then you see like organic potato chips, okay, I mean, if you make that comparison, yeah, the healthier version is more expensive. And I think that's where people get the idea that healthy is more expensive. We're like, okay, if you compare like a bag of conventional oranges versus a bag of organic oranges, like I guess eating healthy is more expensive if that's how you want to define health. But I
Right.
think there's this balance that we need to have. Like I love to talk about like the clean 15 versus the dirty dozen when it comes to what produce you should buy organic or not. And it's like just
Yep.
because you're buying conventional bananas doesn't mean you're unhealthy because you bought that over organic bananas. Like I don't buy organic bananas, I don't eat the peel. So like why would I spend extra money on that if I don't need to? So I think learning
Yes.
like the difference between that is like so big for your health and for your wallet.
Yes, yeah. So just to name a few things that we personally as a family, as a unit, my kids eat. We have a saying like they eat your ear off because they just eat so much. They're growing kids, right? So a few things that we do get organic is mushrooms, and honestly, that's about it that I can think of like off the top of my head. Everything else is the 10 tips that I share with my own community. I'm going to share them on here. So you don't have to do organic. You don't have to be so extensive in this grocery shopping. So the tip, so 10 tips. Tip number one, shop the parameter. I know this is something super popular in the wellness industry. This goes with the fitness industry, right? Like you see anybody, that's one of their number one things. But the reason that we're shopping in the parameter is also because when you are going to get fresh produce, get more in quantity, especially if they have like deals going on, right? Like right now, as an example, strawberries are in season, which is a whole nother tip within itself, right? Is eating in season. And so if I'm seeing, like 3 months ago, strawberries, which is its own little world on should we not eat in season or things like that. We live in a world where things are all the time available, right? And I saw like 3 months ago, a little box of strawberries was like $6. I live in Michigan where things are kind of fairly priced, right? New York is a little bit more expensive. California is a little bit more expensive, but $6 I think is a lot, right? And now they're like 2 for $6. And I'm like, I am getting in on the strawberries. We're getting like 6 boxes. I'm freezing them. Like that's the best way to go. That's why I say shop the parameter is like those are where the deals are. See what's in season, see what you can freeze, especially that those fresh produce. Number
Hold on,
two,
hold on. I just want to, just for those who like don't know what you mean, because like when you say to shop the perimeter, I know exactly what that means. But for
yes.
people who don't, it's making sure that you're shopping on the outside of the grocery store, because that's where you'll find like the fruits, the vegetables, the meats, the dairies, all the not processed food. Because once you start going up and down the aisles, that's where there's like the chips, the cakes,
Yes.
there's all the stuff that is processed. So that's why it's
Yes.
good to stick to the
Yes.
outside. So I love that tip. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for the clarification. I love that too. Yes. So tip number two is obviously fruits and veggies, but what I tend to do is say get four and four. If you are not loading up on like if you're not seeing, as an example, we'll go back to the strawberry thing because apparently I'm just into strawberries today. But if you're not seeing a produce, if you're not seeing a fruit or a veggie that is in your favor, maybe you don't like strawberries. It's not ideal in this. I'm such a firm believer actually in taking what you actually enjoy. Because behaviorally, psychologically, we're not gonna end up eating the food. Like, no matter what our Monday selves say, by Friday, you're gonna be like, I'm not gonna eat that, right? And so we end up spending so much money. Why? If you're not going to take it, right? And so fruits and veggies, I say pick four and four that you actually enjoy if they are not on any sort of like sale, right? So four and four. Typically, I also pair this with being prepared with the two recipies that I'm going to make that week. As an example, there's like a little beef and bean stew that I make. So I shopped for that last week, plus a pizza. So I shopped for that. I saw what veggies I need for both. Do they align? Yeah, I need tomatoes. I need peppers. I need onions. I need potatoes. The potatoes don't go on pizza, but I got that for the stew, right? And I have potatoes that last long, right? So that's just another like example, right? So really come prepared and really come with recipes that you really thoroughly enjoy that your kids are going to enjoy as well. Number four, choose whole grains. Opt in for whole grain products like whole wheat bread, rice, whole quinoa. I want to make a small note on this. Whole quinoa is super important because a lot of the things that are sold in the grocery store, like for the quinoa, they're actually not whole quinoa, they're mixed quinoa. So you really want to see that if you are a quinoa, like if you love to do quinoa versus rice. Rice is fabulous too. Again, it's really whole grain. It provides nice fiber and important nutrients that really contribute to that healthy gut. Tip number four, include legumes like lentils, chickpea, black beans, and kidney beans. They are obviously, we all know, they're a really great source of fiber, but they also contain resistant starch and acts as a prebiotic and feeds the beneficial bacteria in our gut. That's really helpful as well, right?
Yeah. 'Cause we all know about, oh, take your probiotics, but it's so important to make sure you're eating your prebiotics as well.
Absolutely. It's all about the digestive enzyme, all about really absorbing. We're not what we eat, we're what we absorb, right? So that's really going to help. Like I said, last week, that's literally what I made is a beef and a bean, and then I made some pizza. Number five, prioritize fermented foods. So yes, prebiotics, but things like that contain active cultures. That's really what we're looking for. There are so many yogurts in our aisle. Like, right? Like when you go to the grocery store, you see so many different yogurts. My number one thing is to get plain low-fat yogurt. Don't do the fruits or the added flavors. I just think about it like this. If there's fruits in there, plus yogurt, the yogurt should be eating up the fruit if there is ideal probiotics in there, right? So what could they do to the yogurt that doesn't happen and it lasts long, right? In their fridge, right? So really minimizing that process, the process of like they have like gums in, additive cultures in there, right? Things like that. So really active cultures. We're looking for probiotics that have active cultures, right? So I was mentioning yogurt, plain or unsweetened, right? Kefir,
I have a
sauerkraut,
question
kimchi.
about the
Yeah.
yogurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said non-fat. I'm a big proponent of full fat yogurt because it's less processed. Is there a reason why you recommend low fat? I hate that there's things are so overprocessed, and it's like I feel like however we get it whole is how nature designed it. So that's why I try to go for full fat yogurt.
I love this question, and it really sh you are absolutely 100% correct in this question, and really like digging deeper into why I'm saying this is because we actually should be having whole milk. So as an adult, we should be having a nice fat intake of healthy fat, healthy amount of vitamin A, right? Which the lower the fat, the lower vitamin A, and almost like skim milk has no vitamin A in the milk and in the yogurts, right? And so really, this is super important on just for chronic illness and autoimmune is being able to weight manage yourself, right? And so by doing this, if you are having whole milk, that's why I say like do the lower end yogurt. If you want to have whole yogurt, do then like 2% milk. Balance that fat out because we should be, anyways, also again eating healthy fats. So, if we want to manage the weight plus gut health plus reversing the chronic illness, I always say this, in a 7-day calendar span, balance that out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So you're just recommending low-fat yogurt, assuming that you'd be drinking whole fat milk. So
Yes,
I see what you're
yes,
saying. Okay. Okay. Yeah,
yes,
thanks
yes.
for clearing that up, 'cause yeah, exactly. But a lot of us were taught that, like, all right, I need my low-fat cheese and my low-fat yogurt and in my skim milk, and it's like you're not getting any of the ha healthy fats. Everything's so overprocessed. And like, can I just
Yes.
say, my kid loves cheese sticks, and it is literally impossible to find like a mozzarella cheese stick that isn't skim, isn't
Right.
fat-free. Like, cheese, why can't? And then they're like, I try to rip it apart, and it's like they're plastic, and it's because I don't have
Plastic.
fat in it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So really balancing and knowing what the healthy fats are that you are consuming as an adult. For kids, and this is actually just kind of going off on a little tangent. Kids need whole milk up until they are 2 years old. They need whole milk in their diet, right? And so after 2 years old, that quantity of fat isn't needed. Now we're going for quality. That's really, really that. I love that question. It just brings so much clarification. That's amazing. Yes. Okay. So we were on yogurt, on the actual fermented foods, right? So yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi, tempeh, miso, and kombucha. All those, obviously, if you want to make this homemade, and I'm a huge, huge supporter of making as much as possible homemade. But if you are a person very much like me, of I'm very busy, it is me and my two kids at home. My husband works very long hours. We have clients to take care of. There's so many things, family to take care of. There's so many things. If this is not something that you can make, like we've made homemade cheese, we've made homemade kefir, we've made sourdough bread, we've made, but it's not something that I make every single week.
Yeah.
And when we're speaking about making prebiotics, probiotics, we're talking about homesteading, we're talking about making things as much as possible. Really prioritize what it is that you do want to make that week, so you're not overwhelming yourself and you're not hyper focusing on nutrition. I think this is very, very important here. It is so important, yes, nutrition, but your mental health is also equally important. Coming back to this earring metaphor, I absolutely loved it. I think nutrition is that too. We have to understand that the nutrition, the nervous system regulation also has to be on point. And if you're freaking out, if you're consistently being like, I need to make this because I don't trust the grocery store, yes, that's that gap. That's that gap,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. 'Cause of course it's a goal for all of us to, let's say make everything, but I think it's so much more important to also be educated and like, okay, if I can't make bread, then these are the brands that are best for me and my family. Like, this is what I should and shouldn't look out for. Like, I love to make peanut butter and almond butter, but
Yes.
sometimes I don't make it. And I just make sure that when I do go out and buy like a peanut or almond or any nut butter, that my priority is no palm oil and no sugar. So,
Exactly.
it's not
Exactly.
just, oh, because I can't make it, oh, I'll just go buy, Jif or Skippy. No, it's knowing what to do on both ends of the spectrum so we can live comfortably in that gray area for our mental health.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of like peanut butter and things like that, this is a big question that I ask all my clients as well, is ask why that's in there. If it's like that should not be in there. Peanut butter should only be peanuts. Why is there oil in it, right? And I think that's also that can give you clarification and confidence in grocery shopping is I'm not sure if that's okay. Just continue asking yourself, should that be there? Something that I'm seeing, like a movement, if you will, that I'm seeing is broth. So a lot of people are kind of scared to make broth, and broth is very simple. You just need a few root veggies and some bones, and you call it a day, right? And you let it boil. Like you can watch a movie, you can clean your house, you can go play with your kids, and like by the end of the day, it's done, right? I think we've really overcomplicated a lot of simple things, right? And if you are going out of your way to buy your broth, something that I've seen in just grocery shopping with my own clients, grocery shopping for myself is in my family, Kettle and Fire, they're fine. But I've even seen their veggie broth have a few additives in there, right? And I always say, this is as an example, when I went grocery shopping with my clients, like in real life, I was like, okay, let's compare the two. Why does it have additives? And ask yourself this question. It's because it's sitting on a shelf. Broth should not be sitting on a shelf. Broth should be gelatin. Broth should be either in your freezer or in your fridge. So if it's on a shelf, it has to have additives. So again, thinking about that, just thinking about the process of how things are made, does it make sense that it's in there? So in that argument, right, is finding a broth and saying like, oh my gosh, I have some gums and some additives. Why is that in there? This is on a shelf. So those are the thoughts. And the next thing that I personally told my clients to do is, this is why I give you broth recipes, right? So then you can make it. So then that's something that you don't even have to go within the aisles. Again, shopping at the perimeter, right? Okay. What number are we on? I think six.
Yeah, I think six.
Six. Incorporate healthy fats. So coming back to like the yogurt, right? So healthy fats, avocados, nuts, seeds, olive oils, the whole milk, or the whole yogurt, right? One or the other. That's really all there is really like be very mindful about the fats that you are eating. The fats and even like the carbs that we eat, the simple carbs that we're eating, 80% goes towards brain power. And this is really important when we're talking not just gut health, but again, mental health and just being present with your kids, being present with your family. Really important. If we are doing the homesteading, we're making our meals from scratch, we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm worried about fat. I'm worried about this. This is why I say balance it out. Know where your fat is coming from. Know how to use your fat. This is very, very important. This is something that I teach my clients as well, is really cook with butter, right? Olive oil in heat is toxic. So on pure, just on the pan is toxic.
Ooh, can you please explain a little further? Because
Yes,
no one's
yes.
talking about that.
Yes. So it is a quite interesting subject. I made an entire masterclass just on this as gut health cooking methods, and this was the main subject really. So olive oil is fine if you're doing it in, as I say, like using cold use, right? So like on salads, if you're marinating meat, that's fine. Even if you're like whisking it up to make a baking product, right? That's fine. Directly on high heat, olive oil has a low smoking point. So like olive oil, coconut oil is okay. Avocado oil is okay. But if you're talking about really like searing some veggies or some meat or things, or even like some eggs, right? You want to make some sunny side eggs, right? Some sunny side up eggs, right? Butter, animal lard, ghee. Ghee is fabulous as well. Believe it or not, canola oil if you're deep frying, believe it or not. So there is some really great research done on canola oil and benefits of canola oil versus using in high heat. This specific to using in high heat. So coming back to like this peanut butter and canola oil, no way, man. No way. But if you're cooking and you're making fries, and you want to put that deep frying pan that you have, right? Or maybe it's like a Dutch oven, right? You want to put some oil in it. Even though we have been taught for so long that we should do olive oil because olive oil is great for you, right? And things like that. We're talking about PUFAs versus low smoking point. And what's toxic is actually the fume that comes up. The research, Miranda, I'm gonna send you the research that I'm talking about. The
Yes,
fumes
please.
that come, yes, the fumes that come up from using olive oil when in high heat, is actually directly correlated to asthma and lung illnesses. It's a very good meta-analysis. So I'll definitely shoot that to you in comparison to like the benefits of canola oil. So again, super, super important there. And if you're, this is what I do believe being able to sustain your health, this is what it's about, is really going against the grain. And again, asking why, right? Why was this even as just like a side note? Why was this research even conducted, right? How was this olive oil? How this come to be, right? And for so long, we're like, oh my gosh, butter is so bad, right? Like all those things. And now it's like, yeah, butter's great. Butter's great for us. It's great with cooking. It's great if you're waking up in the morning, some toast with some butter, right? Like all those things. fantastic for you, right? But really getting into like the cooking methods, I think that's going to really help if you're having bloating, if you're having skin problems, if you're having low immune system, if you're consistently feeling like you're having a cold, that's really going to help. It's very small habit. You change it literally within like a week, you'll start feeling better.
You're saying like changing from olive oil to butter, like when you're cooking? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And then when you're doing, instead of deep frying, my thing is, I'm not into deep frying, right? Like my liver will have, it will have a day. It will have a day. It'll have a week, right? Where it's just like, I don't like you right now, right? So we don't do frying. So canola oil is not really used. Like it's really not in my household. So we bake. The oven is your best friend. Anything that you can deep fry, you can bake, right?
Or
And
use an air
using
fryer.
or air fryer, right? Like those are like the best thing. I don't have an air fryer or an Instant Pot. I don't have those things at my house.
Oh man, I'm trying to like steer away from them to get more into the old-fashioned cooking, but they've definitely been convenient for like making fries.
So we bake stuff, you know, but again, like even when I bake it, I put butter. I just paint it, I say. I paint my pan with butter, and then after it has cooled down, I add like a drizzle of olive oil, some nice little fresh parsley, maybe a garlic dip with yogurt again, right? Really make that nutrient dense. So that's fats. That's really to help us out in really understanding gut health cooking methods. So many tangents. We are number seven.
We're getting there.
Yes. Number seven, proteins. Choose lean protein. Truly my favorite, and something that is very underrated, is poultry drumsticks. All lean protein is fine. All different cuts of protein, I really recommend doing that as well. Is that's a great thing also to save money on. So don't get the meat that is already chopped up. Get it in like the bigger pieces, but also getting different cuts. Which then brings us to this drumstick thing. Drumstick turkey, drumstick chicken, right? That has really high selenium. That is so helpful for our thyroid and for our mental health. Again, coming back, that gut brain connection, we want to be able to do that, right? So, with skin as well, you can bake it with skin. That's fine. Assuming you're also like baking or grilling it or things like that. Again, if you want to sear it, absolutely no problem. Do it in butter, right? So this kind of all goes together.
And you can use the
Fish,
bones to make bone broth.
yes, please do. Yes, absolutely. Fish, eggs, again, tofu, beans. Again, I know I said beans before for fiber, but it also is a probiotic, also great for lean protein as well. There is not really a specific amount of protein that I tell me or my clients that we should aim for, but really more to have a diverse protein. So I think this is slightly different from like the fitness world, right? It's like just protein is protein. No, it is not. Quality over quantity every single day. You have that consistency in your life, you will see how. Again, coming back to this, that phrase, you're not what you eat, you are what you absorb. And protein is so important in helping you absorb all the other nutrients that you are eating from all your grains and all your fats and all that, right? So that the protein is where I can say, if you are going to a grocery store, get the meat that is, again, not pre-chopped. But I also encourage you to go to your local butcher. One, because that meat is not being held in the store for probably months, but also B, because they're going to have that like quality meat, even if it is my local butcher is fantastic. This past 2 weeks, so 2 weeks ago, they had Miranda, check this out. They had a 5 pound chicken breast for $30. That's amazing. I was
That's
like, heck yeah.
wow. I think people assume that it would be like more expensive to like get
Right.
that type of stuff, and that's a steal.
Right. A steal, right? And I was like, obviously, I didn't use the whole 5 pounds of chicken breast, but You know what I did? And this is again coming back to the same thing is I parted it in half. I used half that day and I got half left in the freezer. So you best believe that's what I'm doing this week, right? And that was $30. So $15 and $15. How are you gonna like where are you gonna get that, right? So that's really what it's all about is if you can go to your local butcher, it's fresh, it's quality, and most likely they have the more you buy, the more you save type of deal, right? So that's that. And again, coming back to the bones, try to get things with bones in it. Even if you don't enjoy eating off the bone, just cut it off, save the bone, and put it in the broth. Okay. Number eight. Number eight. So this is a little bit like one like a tip within a tip. Is buying packaged food, read the labels carefully. So if you are having like sugars or added sweeteners, hydrogenated oils, it's ingredients that really, if you can say them, then go for it, right? But again, if you are shopping on the parameter, you are getting four fruits and veggies for the week, right? You are having like your cheeses and your nuts and your seeds and your milks and in your meats. Like right there, I've said like maybe four or five meals that you can make like right off the bat, right? And so coming back to this gut health cooking methods, that's really going to help you that if you do need to go into the aisles, make sure that we're looking at the ingredients, not the calories, not like that kind of stuff. Look at the ingredients because if the
That's literally
ingredients
what I say in like the intro to this podcast is like we should be looking at the ingredient list, not the caloric, like the calorie content on there.
Yes, right. And you kind of free two birds with one key there, right? Because if you're looking at the ingredients, then it's going to be ideal for calories as well, right? Because the more ingredients, the more calories, the more processed, the more calories, right? Sometimes there's a few things that are like low calorie, but it's like super high processed. That's why it's low calorie because it's super highly processed, right? So yeah, that would be number eight. Number nine. Stay hydrated. I say this, and this is part of my 10 tips of grocery shopping because milks, yes, juices, if you must, especially if you have little kids and maybe like they like juice, right? Do not buy from concentrate. Do not buy from concentrate, right? So buy as naturally as possible. But again, this is something that we do. We buy like two bags of the cuties. We throw them in the blender and do it up like that with the seeds and all, right? And then just drain it, right? That's what we do. There's no added sugar, there's no added nothing, right? And again, I've already shopped the parameter now. I've shopped my fruits, right? And I can make so many things from that. So with pulp too, if you enjoy with pulp, so juices with pulp or just not from concentrate. Anything else that you would add to juices?
Oh man, that's a big one. I think the from concentrate, a lot of people don't even know because they'll see like a bottle of apple juice and it says organic, but then it's organic concentrate. And it's like
Yep.
we're taught to think like, oh, it says organic, so it must be better for me and my gut health. And it's not always the case. So it's so important to look at the ingredients instead of just the front where they're trying, where they're marketing, where they're trying to get you to buy their product. Another
Yes.
thing like I love to do with juice or any type of drink, like this sounds like so weird, but I do it all the time. Like I love to water it down because like it gets it to last longer. A lot of times, like I just like to sip on something that doesn't taste like just like water. Like even my kombucha, like I'll water down my kombucha so it lasts a little longer. Like if I want something sweet, like I'll add like maybe just regular soda water, you know, just carbonated water to it. I just love doing that. And like you guys can do that with your kids' juices too. Like if your kid insists on having juice, like just water it down. It'll last longer, it'll be less sugar, better for them, and you know,
Absolutely.
still tastes good.
Yes. And you kind of get that the kick of like the sweet, as you were saying, the craving. We are a big fan of actually listening to your body and listening to what it's craving, chances are it's because we're low on that, right? And so watering down juices, that's a great thing. I do that with my kids. I'm not that much of like a juice drinker, which actually brings me to the next topic of you mentioned like soda water, sparkling water. There's a few, it's very new research. It's kind of like a new topic that is beginning to be talked about is sparkling water and how like LaCroix and like the ones that come in like ca cans. So like LaCroix, Bubly, there's a few other ones that actually have PUFAs in them, which are like forever chemicals, right? And so, or not PUFAs, I'm sorry, PFAS, PEFAs, and those are forever chemicals. And so the best way really to do that as well is, so we get the same Perrier, same the green one, but in a glass bottle, or they have those little glass bottles. That's really gonna help you as well. And this is again something that I do for myself because I'm not that big of a juice drinker. I have teas, coffees, and matchas and water. That's about it. And so when I really want a juice or something like that, I do a nice sparkling water like Saint Perrier, and then and I'll infuse it with like one of our favorites really is some mint that I'm growing. I'm so excited. It's a beautiful little mint bush now. It's so exciting. It
I
starts with
love it.
nothing. Yes, with mint and raspberry. You do those, you put give yourself like that nice one of those like the not what is it like the wine glass and like one of those bigger wine glasses. Put that in there, put some
Oh
ice
yeah.
cubes in.
How about the
Just give.
the vibes of it.
Yes, right? Like, come on, man. Like, we're queens and we're doing so much in a day. Like, really just sit and enjoy that drink. So that's something that I do. I actually made a reel. I was drinking an adrenal drink, and that was the first time my community saw me like with this big like glass, and I was like, yep, this is my adrenal drink. I'm just stirring it with my straw, and I was like, yep, this is me. This is me. This is that's what I like. I like to take things slow, you know, again. Back to that nervous system regulation. So that's water. Stay hydrated. And 10, and this is really the ultimate one of, okay, you do one, you do two, you do three, you do four, you do all these tips. But if you're not going to do any of them, if you're, or maybe you do just one, maybe you just shop the parameter, right? Or maybe you're like, oh, I really like how she's like, let's do the lean protein and like the different cuts, right? Let's do that. This is the one that you should do no matter what, though, is have a plan. And my biggest thing, you guys heard me mention this earlier, is I come prepared with at least two recipes that I know that I'm going to make. So coming back to the whole fruits, veggies, the recipe that it needs, right? Whatever I'm making, as an example, the beef with the bean stew plus the pizza, I came in prepared and I'm like, this is what I'm going to buy. You're saving at least 50% on what you're going to spend if you just come with a plan, right? So really avoiding almost like 80% of the store, having a plan, you're gonna save money, you're gonna be gut healthy, you're gonna radiate, your skin is gonna be amazing, right? Like you're gonna be mentally so, your mental status quo is gonna be doing so good, right? You're gonna hang out with your kids because you're not freaking out and you know about the nutrition, about oh my gosh, I've spent so much money at the grocery store, right? It just all incorporates and really empowers you.
Yeah, I love that. I think it really holds us accountable too, like to write it down and have that plan. Like I even like with like knowing the dishes you're gonna make for the week. I mean, there's no shame in having like the same recipes on rotation, you know? Like you know how to make them, be experts at it, make it taste good, you know? 'Cause then you try to do something like yesterday I was cleaning out my fridge. I try to clean out my fridge every once in a while and I was going through the condiments. And I'm just like, I made one dish that required a little bit of this random condiment. And it's like, then you never use it again because you like never make the dish or no other dishes ever call for it. And it's like you know the meals that you're good at and what you like. And they're gonna be like for us, like onions, bell peppers, zucchini and jalapenos, like those go in so many of our dishes. You know, we make so many, like whether it's like a stir fry or it's you know, a pasta sauce or whatever,
Yep.
we have like these staples that go in all of them. We don't have to have drastically different meals every single day. I mean, of course we want a variety for our gut health, but I mean, then you know, you buy like fish sauce and use it once and then it just goes to waste.
Speaking of variety, I think this is also, this can create a lot of overwhelm, is creating that we almost create our own decision fatigue from variety. But variety doesn't equal diverse. There are, food is so abundant, right? And just different food combinations have a different absorption rate, as a different nutrient intake, right? Just from doing small little differences, right? So I love this example, Miranda, that you gave, is like specialize and get really good at making like four stuff, like four meals, right? Whatever it is you want to do, whether it's like lunch and breakfast or lunch and dinner, right? Specialize in that. A, you're not creating decision fatigue, so you're going to be actually excited to make it, right? And B, it's also the fact that you are able to now go, and this is something that I do this exercise with my clients, is if I were to tell you to make a meal right now with what you have in your house, could you do it? Right? What do you have in your freezer? Do you have frozen veggies? This is a big thing too, is like if it's not in season, or we're coming back to this seasonal eating thing, right? Because it's so important. But if it's not in season, or if it's like, hey, like I really want to make, as an example, this like bean and beef stew, right? That I made last week, and it calls for broccoli. It doesn't, but I'm like, I really want broccoli in it, and broccoli is not in season, or it's really expensive. Do I have broccoli in my freezer, right? And get really good at that and diverse that, not necessarily diverse this entire, you know, kitchen, right? If you will, right? So very small steps, very big impact.
Yeah, I like that. Just making little tweaks in like regular meals that you have. I mean, like even the other day I was making like these sourdough waffles for my baby and I was like, I'm gonna throw some nutritional yeast in here and then some flaxseed. And it's like now he has, you know, more nutrients and like it's still like it's just a waffle, you know.
Yes.
So
Yes.
it
Yes.
doesn't require
Start.
any extra ingredients or learning. It's just like I looked in my spice cabinet and was like, oh, look, I have these goodies that I know are good for me and my gut. So I'm gonna throw it into a recipe I normally make.
Yes. 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 Such a firm believer of doing those things. Again, small habit, big impact. What can I change? Right? Again, variety does not equal diverse. So really, really knowing that and the food combinations. Oh yeah. And I think that's really helpful for the kids too. Kids are really big on like, I want to know what to expect, right? They just thrive on schedule and thrive to know what's next. And I think giving them that, like, okay, like my kids know, like when I say like I'm making like a beef stew, they're already like, oh my God, yes, because they already know the smell, the texture, they already know these things, right? And so if I add in broccoli, which they love, they're like, oh my God, this is even better, right? Or if I add anything else to, you know, come back to waffles, if I add like a little bit of honey and the next week I'll add a little bit of cinnamon, they like them both, but they're the texture and the thing, the base of the meal is the same.
It's probably just a great way to introduce like new foods and stuff to kids because it's
Absolutely.
there's like it, they're familiar with like 99% of it, and you know, adding one little thing like if you were to add a new vegetable in your beef stew, it's like they don't like it, they can pick around it, and then maybe they'll feel adventurous and try that new vegetable. So those are really
Yes.
good tips. Awesome, I love
Yes.
these 10 tips. Where can our listeners find you and reach out to you and connect with you?
Yeah, thank you, Miranda. Yeah, this was so amazing. And I hope everybody just like literally get your notebooks out and like press rewind and just, you know, write down these 10 tips. They're gonna help you right away. Yeah, to find me, so I'm on Instagram and on Facebook. So on Instagram, I'm at jettas.digest, GETAS dot digest. And then on Facebook, if you just type in Jettas Gut Health, GETA apostrophe S, Gut Health. I pop right up. In the Facebook group, I do a lot of like free trainings, and a little bit more specific. In fact, I did the 10 tips training with a little bit more of insight, in my Facebook group. And pretty soon we're going to be doing a just a free training on digestive enzymes. What are they? Why are they important? And in my Instagram, it's a lot of community and a lot of like sharing and like really busting some myths, really talking about like what you can do to really get going on your chronic illness, autoimmune, gut health journey.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'll put all that stuff in the show notes so people can find you. I just thank you for your time and giving us those great tips. So thank you, Jetta.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun. Thanks.
Thank you all for joining me in another episode of the Bread Therapy Mama podcast. If you like this kind of content, check out my blog for recipes, how-tos, product recommendations, and more. Just go to breadtherapymama.com. I'll see you all in the next episode.